Amen. Exodus chapter 40. We finished the book of Exodus. Next week, we go over those basic Christian doctrine beliefs about 4 or 5 weeks. Next week, we're going to cover God. The verses. Who is our God? Why is he different than all the other gods that people believe in? He's the only God. Today, we're finishing up on the tabernacle. It's ready. If you kept your hand out, you'll be able to see the picture of it. If you didn't, there might be one on the back table. But that tabernacle was that portable tent-like dwelling before there was a temple where God's presence would be manifest to the nation of Israel. This was a place where God would speak to his people, where they would sacrifice and prayers would be made. And it would be set up in the middle of the camp as the nation of Israel would camp in the wilderness. And they're going to be there for 40 years. And the people, as we read last week, provided for all the things that the tabernacle needed. They just brought it in more than they needed. And things were built by skilled workers. And then Moses, verse 43 of the last chapter, then Moses looked over all the work. And indeed, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so they had done it, and Moses blessed them. So Moses was the inspector, and it was all good, just the way God wanted it. Imagine having your work inspected by God, you know, a representative of God, and everything having to be done exactly as the Lord commanded. And, you know, realistically, we as Christians are examined by God, our intentions and what we do. He sees it all. And he knows if it's the right way or the wrong way. So the tabernacle's ready. All the items were constructed. Now the order from God to set it up. And all the parts are going to fit. It'd be like Legos. They were all done. And they're just all going to fit together. No problems. Because God had them make it. And they did it the way God wanted. Verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So he says, set it up, Moses. Actually, put all the pieces together on the first day of the first month. Now, if you look at verse 17, it says it was on the first month of the second year of the first day of the month. So they've been there a year because it's the second year after their exodus from Egypt. First day of the first month of the second year, the tabernacle is set up. If we go back to Exodus 12, if you turn back to Exodus 12, verse 1 and 2, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. God created a new calendar once they were delivered from Egypt. He says, now you're starting a new calendar, a new life, a new future. Just like when we come to Jesus, it tells us in 2 Corinthians that we're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, all things become new. We start a new birthday when we're born again. And here they started a new life. It started at the first Passover. And then now it's going to be a year later. And God says, set it up. The tabernacle was actually raised up in the wilderness 1 year later. And it took about 6 months to build. Because it took a few months at this place. Then Moses was up on the mountain a couple of times for 40 days. So it took about 6 months to put all this stuff together. Now, the new calendar, the new month, is called Abib. And this corresponds to our April time frame. Now, we know in Exodus 19 that they arrived at Mount Sinai in the wilderness of Sinai, where God gave them the law in the third month. And Moses was on Mount Sinai communicating with God a couple of times. So all the rest of the months they were building these things for the tabernacle. And that's pretty quick when you have this magnificent building and everything made from scratch. You don't order parts from another manufacturer. This is all from scratch. You know, sewn, colored, cut, everything. And so verse 2 in our text, he says, now set it up and let's have the tabernacle put together. Now, he's going to tell them how to set it up, which is interesting. It's from the inside out. In other words, the last thing to the entrance. You know, usually you build around, then do the inside. This is inside out. They set it up. Because he says, first put in, you shall put in the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant. You shall put in the Ark of the Testimony and partition off the Ark with the veil. It says, first thing you do is put in the Ark of the Covenant and into the Holy of Holies. That was the last place, the Holy of Holies. The only item of furniture in that most holy place. And it's to be put in there. And he says, you're going to have this veil which separates the Holy of Holies from the holy place, which is next, and the rest of the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies had the mercy seat on it, and that's where God's presence was manifested and where the high priest would go. So first thing is, put that item in there where God makes himself known. Put that in there first. Then the rest of the tabernacle. Now, we read later on in history, you know, hundreds of years later, that the veil was put in the temple, Solomon's temple. That large veil, which just separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And remember, that's the one that was torn in two from top to bottom. Once Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. Let's turn to Matthew 27, verse 51. The one in the tabernacle here is much smaller because it's not that high. But in Matthew 27, that's in the temple there. It was quite large. In Matthew 27, 51, we read, then behold, you know, verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. It's all over. He paid for our sin. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Remember, all these things point forward to Jesus, this tabernacle. And so we see that's the way it was in the temple. Now, that's a big thing when it was torn from top to bottom in two, because the veil in the temple was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide. That's a pretty large veil, and 4 inches thick. So guess who had to tear that thing? You know, you see these guys in these magic shows sometimes tear the phone book in two, or these strong men get the big phone book and tear it in two. Can you imagine this, 60 feet high, 30 inches wide, 4 inches thick? God just from top to bottom, showing that all have access to him now through Jesus. So first is the Ark of the Covenant. And verse 4, you shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. So first we see the Ark of the Covenant and then the veil. And then we see you shall bring in the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. That would be the 12 breads. The table of showbread was brought in, 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel to be placed on them, as well as the dishes for pouring. And they would be in the holy place out on the other side of the veil. And then the other item in there, in verse 5, you shall also set on the altar of gold for the incense before the Ark of the Testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. There was the gold, in verse 4, at the end of it, and you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. So there was in the holy place the table of showbread and the golden lampstand with 7 bowls, perfect light, seven bowls, perfect light. Now Jesus is the light of the world. And then in verse 5, we see that altar of gold incense before the Ark of the Testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. And if you have a handout, you probably see all those things. Sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord, now our prayers. We've gone over all of this before, so that's why we're going over it quickly. In other chapters, we went over this. Now they're actually putting it into the tabernacle. And then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So out from the tent-like structure where the holy place and the Holy of Holies was, there, you know, out from that structure, but still in the grounds, in the courtyard, was the altar of burnt offering. So that's where they would sacrifice. When you would walk in, you'd see the altar of burnt offerings where they would offer sacrifice. And you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water in it. The laver of bronze for washing between the altar and the tabernacle structure. So all those things were placed in order, starting from the Holy of Holies in the Ark all the way out to the open area. And then in verse 8, you shall set up the court all around and hang up the screen at the court gate. Then they set up the courtyard area with hangings all around. And you can see that. And now once it's set up, you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle. In other words, consecrate it. Anoint the tabernacle, representing this to be a holy place, and all that is in it. You shall hallow it and all its utensils, and it shall be holy. This is God's place, and so you anoint this place. And you shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. So with anointing oil, and that, if you read Exodus 30, verse 23, that was made from quality spices, this anointing oil, just the way God said it was to be made, and to make it holy unto the Lord. And then the priesthood is instituted, verse 12. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. They have to be washed and cleansed. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron. We went over all the garments and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. And you shall anoint them as you anointed their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. So here the priesthood is instituted. They were to be from the tribe of Levi, and not only that, but Aaron and his sons. You had to be a descendant of Aaron to be in the priesthood. They're to be set apart. When you read this, this is a very holy thing. And the approach to God was a very holy thing, not casual. And it's special because it was for God and was to be this way. And he says, anoint them, and they're going to be endued with power by the Holy Spirit. And Moses obeyed the orders, verse 16. Verse 15, you shall anoint them and their father, that they may minister to me as priests, for the anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. This is the way it's going to be forever. It's not going to change. Thus Moses did, according to all the Lord had commanded him, he did. Moses obeyed orders. And now we see in verse 17, and it came to pass in the first month of the second year. So this was the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. And that's our April time frame when this happens. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at that time, our new life. So now Moses is going to set up the tabernacle. And we read that from verses 18 to 29. So Moses raised up the tabernacle. Like I said, just like Legos now, He raised up the tabernacle, fastened its sockets, set up its boards, put in its bars, and raised up its pillars. Like, all fit. Isn't that nice? When you get something and it all fits. Usually it doesn't. But it's nice when it all fits, if you do it the right way. He took the testimony and put it into the ark, which was the Ten Commandments, inserted the poles through the rings of the ark, and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung up the veil of the covering, partitioned off the ark of the testimony as the Lord had commanded him. So he brought the ark in, as God said, put up that veil, and he put the table in the tabernacle of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the lampstand in the tabernacle of meeting across from the table on the south side of the tabernacle. And if you have a handout, you can see all of that. And he lit the lamps before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put the gold altar in the tabernacle of meeting in front of the veil. And he burned sweet incense on it as the Lord had commanded Moses. He hung up the screen of the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of burnt offering, just the way Lord said to do it. That's what he did it. That's the way he did it. He put the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and he offered upon it the burnt offering and the grain offering as the Lord had commanded Moses. When you read these things, how can anyone doubt that God is real? How can they doubt he's the agent of creation? Because when you read these things, you see how detailed this is. Who in their own mind would sit down and write all of this stuff? Why would you even do that? These instructions had to come from God. I mean, you couldn't make this up. And then it points to the temple and Jesus fulfilling that. This is all God. And when you read these things, you say, wow, very detailed. How could anyone make this up? God has to be real. And he had to direct these people to do this, because who would come up with everything this way? And it fits and it works. Very detailed. So he did it as the Lord commanded him. Then in verse 30, he set the laver between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar and put water there for washing. These guys have to wash, purify themselves. And Moses and Aaron and his sons would wash their hands and their feet with water from it. And whenever they went into the tabernacle of meeting, and when they came near the altar, they washed as the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did it. They need to be pure and clean before the Lord. Now, verse 33, and he raised up the court all around the tabernacle. That's just the whole court. He raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, hung up the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. So Moses finishes the work. The courtyard, the perimeter, all set up. All the work is done. But just like that, left to that, if we ended in verse 33, it's just a structure. Just like the church is just a building. You know, people, when they talk of the church, a lot of them speak of a certain building in a certain place. Well, the church is really the people in the body of Christ who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Just like this, it's beautiful, magnificent, but just a structure until we get into verse 34. You see, and this is what makes it special. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. There's two things here. One is the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled it. What's the difference? They're two different things. You know, it talks about this glory cloud and the cloud. They're two different things. First of all, let's turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13, verse 21. You know, the Lord is going to guide them through the wilderness. And it tells us here in verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now we're led by the Holy Spirit. But there was this cloud. We covered that, how God told the people, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to lead you by night and day. You'll see that my presence is with you by this cloud and a pillar of fire by night. You know, that showed them that the Lord was leading them. The glory cloud, it says in verse 34, the cloud covered the tabernacle. That was that cloud which would lead them, the Lord's presence there. But then it tells us, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord. Exodus 33, verse 18. Exodus 33, verse 18. Verse 17. Moses wanted to see the Lord. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here's a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses was going to see the glory of the Lord, and it's mentioned in Scripture many times. It must have been a glorious sight, the glory of the Lord passing by, not the cloud which led them by day and night, but the glory of the Lord appeared many times. Leviticus. Turn ahead to the book of Leviticus, chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. Leviticus 9, verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. That's what happened. The glory of the Lord, like a fire, came out from before the Lord. Wow, that had to be awesome, this glory of the Lord. He manifests himself to the people. Now let's turn to Exodus 24, verse 15. Exodus 24, verse 15. Then Moses went up in the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. There was this cloud covering it, not that one by day and night, but this is different. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain, and in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud, went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Same thing, that glory cloud, God's presence. It had to be awesome. It was so awesome that we get back to our text here, Exodus 40, that we read in verse 35, Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. He couldn't even enter the tabernacle because the glory of the Lord filled it. How awesome. Now, this is the tabernacle. Constructed by God. He told him how to do it, what to do, and he now inhabits it. We see the glory of the Lord. It was just a structure prior to that. But now the glory of the Lord appears. We go way ahead, years in the future, and we get to Solomon's temple, the one that David wanted to build. Now the temple's actually going to be built, which this was just like a temporary model of. So we get to, look what happens as we look at that. It's in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 9. Now this is when the ark, just like we read in the tabernacle, now this is years later and Solomon's temple is dedicated. The ark is brought into the temple. And we read verse 9. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And Solomon spoke, the Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. Same thing happened when they dedicate the real temple hundreds of years later. The Lord fills the tent, the glory of the Lord fills it. They couldn't even walk in there. What's it showing us is there's God's presence. There's God's presence there. This is what he accepts. He's there. Now, back to our text. Verse 36. And whenever, now it gets back to the cloud that was guiding them. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. That's the one that was guiding them. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and a fire was over it by night. In other words, the Lord gave them a nightlight in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now this cloud, the cloud by day and fire by night, would direct the nation of Israel to go or stay in their journey. There was no popular vote or committees to determine whether to move or camp. They had to go by the cloud. They couldn't move without the cloud moving. God inhabited that place and God was directing them. That's how we should be. We move when God says move, we stay when God says stay. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. That's the way they had to live all those years. Just following God. Numbers 9, verse 15. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, that's what we read, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained in camp, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Isn't that an awesome thing? You need faith because they had to go by the Lord. And that's the best way to go. Can you imagine? Sometimes it would stop, the cloud, and they would put up the tabernacle, pitch their tents, stay. Very possible the next day it would move. Tear it down and move. But it says here, sometimes it could be a day, a week, a month, or a year. Boy, wouldn't you think some of the people begin to wonder after a while, you know what? I don't know if the Lord's with us anymore. It's already been like 9 months. And we're not going anywhere. A lot of lessons there, isn't there? They did not go until the Lord moved. That had to cause some problems among the ranks. You know, I think we should go. No, let's go. I mean, we've been here too long. They did it, though. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, if the cloud remained, they would remain. And when it went, it went. They really knew God was in charge. See, he made them into a nation. And they were going to take the land. And the tabernacle, remember, was set up in the middle of the camp so everyone could see it all around. Bet you they woke up. And it says even by night if it moved. You have to have people watching. Time to go? Time to stay? We don't know. Can you imagine the call? It moved. Let's go. Get up, everybody. I just went to bed. I've only been sleeping an hour. Get up and go. These people were obedient, you know. But they knew God was there. So I call that God's nightlight, you know. Fear sets in. Anxiety sets in. Sleeplessness sets in, you know, when we're in trouble, when we're going through things. And I'm sure they had a lot of problems. But what did they do? They watched. What is the Lord saying? Do I go or do I stay? You know? Today we look unto the Jesus, the light of the world, and we listen to him. We follow Jesus. Glorious messages here in Exodus. And next week we start picking up that new series and we cover this God we're talking about. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word today. What a wonderful story with the nation of Israel. Lord, we want to be directed by you. Increase our faith. Take away our restlessness and help us to rest in you, trusting you to speak and to move us when it's time and to give us strength to stay when we're to do that. But Lord, it has to be you that's guiding our steps, else we get in trouble. So let us remember these words, knowing that you're the one with the plan. You know when that time to stay is, when that time to move is, and when it's time to do anything. So give us wisdom from above and release us from any worry, anxiety, or stress. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.